Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Rachel White. Rachel is a coach, guide, author, and speaker. Rachel works with women to expand their experience of creativity, intuition, pleasure, and ease. Her work centers around the premise that we get to make art out of our everyday life and in the way we exchange value in the world. Rachel, welcome to the space.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Welcome.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so glad that you're here. So I just read a tiny bit of your bio and would love for you to share a little bit more about who you are.
Yeah, thank you so much, Hol, for having me here. So a little bit about who I am, expanding on what you shared, is that I was someone that really grew up thinking that I wasn't creative, and I didn't have any right to call myself creative or to put myself in alignment with the people who were, you know, typically labeled in that way, like the people that could draw really well or sing or dance or whatever creative endeavors they were doing. And while I never really thought I was creative, I did think that I was a really good problem solver, and that I, you know, when I look back, I was always creative. I was just channeling it into my problem solving, my ambitious goals, and like all the academic success I was having, I thought that I was intelligent, not creative. And I really thought those were two separate things. But looking back, I see it. It's all intertwined. And now creative energy is an impulse through in all human beings, in all forms of our expression. So growing up, I really, I loved maths. I did very well academically. I studied to be an accountant. I worked as an accountant for 8 years. And then I kind of got to this point where I was like, okay, this is maybe not really what I want to do for my life. Like, I did really enjoy it for a space of time, but then it got to a point where it's like, okay, like, I'm not really enjoying this anymore. So I explored other things. I did my life coach training. I did my yoga teacher training. I started to express myself differently through my business. And I felt so much freedom in the way that I could create through my business. I felt so restricted in the way that I was working as an accountant. Like, there were rules to follow. I was working to someone else's vision that I didn't feel fully aligned with at the time that I left. And creating through my business really, like, expanded me in so many ways, like with like that freedom and spaciousness and liberation that came with creating for the joy of it and creating in a way that really aligned with my own energy. So for the last few years, like 3 years now, I left my accounting career and I've been into my business, and I've created so many different things. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with human design, but I have like a line three. So trial and error experimenting is like very key in my profile. And I've created so many things. I've tried so many different things, and I feel really grounded in what I'm doing now, but I have no doubt that it will continue to expand. So that's a little snapshot of my
That's
life.
beautiful. That's really, and you are in the perfect place because I started this podcast to expand the whole societal definition of what how creativity is viewed beyond just drawing and painting and what we, see as to fit into that box. So I love how you just opened it up with saying in the beginning you didn't see yourself that way, but you saw yourself as a problem solver, but never related that under that definition, which it so much is. And that's the beauty when people actually start to understand that and it starts to sink in and people start to own their powers. It's like, just like you're saying, you're creating from a space of joy and you're more expressive and expansive.
Yeah, definitely.
So, gonna be a good conversation. So, good starting point. So, first, I want to welcome the people that are here live. So, thank you so much for being here. Very grateful for you. You can feel free to put any questions or comments in the chat where we can see them and we can respond. So, Rachel, would you rather speak to animals or speak 10 foreign languages?
10 foreign languages.
That was fast. Do
Definitely.
you speak any foreign languages now?
No, I don't. So I lived with my nonna for 10 years and she only speaks Italian with like limited English. Like always been like a dream that I could speak fluent Italian. So I knew that answer as well.
Did you? So I'm sorry, I don't know if I heard you completely. Did you speak any? You must have picked up some Italian while you were there.
Like some words. I feel like I could always get the general gist, like the message of what she was saying, but I couldn't translate a word.
I have to say, how long did you live there for?
10 years.
Okay. I was just there for 6 weeks on a program for college and for my master's degree. And I remember being in a shop, and it took about a half hour to try and communicate a push pin that I was looking for a push pin.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. Yeah. Finally, I mean, we're both, and he was so patient with me. Like, he was really being so patient, this American, not knowing the language. But I didn't know how to, like, look at, like, I didn't know what to look for. Like, his push, I didn't see it in a book. Anyway, it was entertaining, but it took a lot of clear communication and drawing and hand languages, like hand movements, gestures. For it to come across. So, okay. So, Rachel, diving into the first question, how do you define creativity?
Yeah, this is such a good question, and I kind of had to sit with this for a little bit because I feel like it is like it's simple, but it also has depth and nuance. But how I would define creativity is like simply the energy in which we create, and that energy is primal and it is equally divine. And I really feel like we're born with this primal impulse to create as humans. We create in every moment that we are alive, and we are divine channels for creation. So I feel like we are creative simply because we exist. And the more we honor that, the more we expand our experience and potency of that and of what we're birthing into the world. So, in summary, how I would define creativity is just like existing, being in creation.
Yeah. So this was kind of a newer, you stepped into this belief more so and really started owning it. How long ago was this, would you say?
I would say at a conscious level, maybe a year ago.
Wow. Okay. So that must have been like fireworks kind of going on, or was it not? Was it kind of like, what the hell? Like, what have I missed? What is,
Well,
what was
it's
that? What's
really
that
interesting
like?
because, okay, so like a little bit more into my background is that in 2015, it was kind of like my spiritual awakening. Like I was exposed to the world of spirituality and it blew my mind and it opened me up in so many ways. And then from there, I kind of went into mindset work. So I was really combining spirituality and mindset. And then at the start of 2020, I really started to dive deeper into embodiment. And there were embodiment practices. Like I was a yoga teacher and like I knew the body was important, but I really focused on embodiment through pleasure at the start of 2020. And then so it was like everything was coming together, like mind, body, spirituality. And then I don't know, like I wish I could remember the exact moment, but I just remember like hearing someone talk about creativity and being like, oh my God, like that's the missing link. Like it was kind of like the final puzzle piece that brought everything together for me. And it just like through my exploration of embodiment, I feel like creativity is so important because like our creative energy is in our body. And if we're disconnected from our body, we're disconnected from the full potency of our creativity, which is so interlinked with pleasure and the body and our emotions and all of that. So it was kind of like, for me, it was like the missing piece. Like it brought everything together instead of seeing like my spirituality different to my mindset practice being different to my embodiment practices.
Such an important point that you just said. And I love how you said that it was the missing link. And that it really is this, it doesn't make one more important than the other. They're different, but yet they're all connected.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, what a beautiful connection. Okay. So let's dive a little bit deeper. I love that word that you use, like primal and sacred. Could you kind of like, as I say those words, I don't know, could you kind of expand on that? What it
Yeah,
means
so
to you, how it feels to, what it feels like?
for sure. So when I say primal, like it's part of our human instincts. As soon as we become an animated human body, as soon as we take our first breath, when we physically arrive into this plane of existence, we take our breath, which we animate our body, we become full of life force. Our life force energy is our creative energy. And so we have this primal instinct and this primal impulse to create. And we create through every breath, we create through every thought, we create through every action, and we can create to higher capacities as well. Like we can create new human life. Like it blows my mind even thinking about that. So we always have this primal impulse to keep creating because our creations keep us in motion, keep us in evolution. And that creative impulse is always there. And when we're harmonized with it, we can create art, we can create really beautiful things. When we're disassociated with it and disconnected from that energy, the impulse is still there, but it becomes expressed in a perverted way. We start creating things that we don't actually want. So the impulse is always there, and we get to choose how we connect with it and how we harmonize it and how we create and express with it. And then there's the divine side, and like use the word sacred divine. I probably use them interchangeably. And it's like this is our spiritual connection. And I really believe that we channel ideas and inspiration and notions onto Earth, onto our plane of existence that only we have access to. And I think of like source energy, spirit, the universe, God, like whatever label you want to give to the divine essence. It's like this giant ball of light, and it's full of things that are going to make, that are going to elevate humanity one person at a time in so many ways and have so many beautiful ripples. And it's like there's all these like ideas, there's all these inspirations floating around in it. And when we are ready to align with it, we can channel things from that that will only align with us. And that's why I think so many people, like throughout history, you can see they had this divine idea and it changed the life of so many people forever. And I also think there are ideas floating around in the earth that want to attach to anyone. And that's why there's waves of movement that people are simultaneously channeling the same idea. So there's this divine energy that co-creates with our creative energy. So yeah, it's primal and divine equally, I feel.
Oh, so interesting. And as you were talking, I was thinking because the argument or whatever, however you want to say it, is, there's a million kinds of shirts. There's all these different kinds of designs and they can look the same, but there's a particular one that comes to you because it was channeled through you. And that's what makes it unique, and that's what makes it yours when it's truly in alignment. Because when you're doing something where you're like, yeah, it kind of looks like this. I'm just going to tweak it a little bit. There's a different energy with that, and something where it's like that excitement that's in your belly that's like, yes, this is mine.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like a really beautiful relationship. Like this is, goes into divine and spirituality as well, that we're all connected, that we get so inspired by other people and we can like imitate others and add our own innovations and unique energy to make it something that is our own unique expression. But I think it's really beautiful and divine that we can use the world as our muse. Like we can find inspiration in everything, in everyone, out into the world.
Yeah, I can say, like, being an art teacher for 30 years, and leaving it 3 years ago, the formal classroom. But that was always the thing, be it with kids or adults, in all different kinds of settings, was that thing of copying. And he copied me, she copied me. I don't know. It looked so much like hers, and it was always truly that saying of, you can inspire each other. And it really isn't going to be exactly like theirs because it can't, unless you take a picture of it or unless you trace it or if if that's what it is, a drawing or whatever. But even if you were going to create a sculpture, you get inspired by each other, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, that this label that it gets. And it would be such an incredible feeling when, of course, it's about repetition. These things have to be said over and over again in order for people, I would find, for it to really sink in. And when kids would start repeating it to each other and saying things, it's just like, oh my God, when you can step back and see it incorporated into their vocabulary, that's just the best.
Yeah, that is so amazing. I think it's so important for kids to learn that lesson.
Because I mean, it just carries through adulthood. And if you have to teach it to adults from being adults because they didn't learn it when they were a kid, then that's even more satisfying because you really feel like you made a change.
Yeah.
But yeah, even the kids that were the most, what you might call disruptive, or you didn't think that they were listening, and they turn around and they say it, I was just like, okay, my job is done. I got them. They were actually listening to me. Like, that's just amazing. So I'm going to throw some words out to you, because as I was looking at your website, actually, you really use these incredible words throughout. You said a line in your that I saw that said, your creative expressions are a sacred power to make art out of the mess, mundane, and magic. If you could dive a little bit more into that, I love those words.
Yeah, so making art out of the mundane and that. Okay, so this is really about like making art out of our everyday life and out of every moment in our life. And I think that oftentimes it when our life feels magical in the moments where it's like something amazing is clearly happening and we feel elevated and joyful, like it's really easy to appreciate that moment. And it's really easy to recognize ourself and to recognize how our creative energy or anything else we have done has contributed to that moment. It's when things are a little messy or when there's a bit of like the mundane, like just washing the dishes or doing something that we have to do to survive in life or whatever it is. It's in those moments that it's kind of like we so often slip into the autopilot that is run by our subconscious mind. And those are the moments that I feel like are the most ignored, but those moments can become such an artful expression as well. Like, you can dance and sing while you do the dishes. You can, like, I find it so interesting watching people be in a line, like in any moment where it's like waiting. They're waiting in line at the supermarket, or they're waiting in line wherever. And it's like everyone's like head down on their phone, silent. And it's like, yes, why aren't we having like a little dance party? Or like, I don't know, like every moment can be an artful expression in all like the mess and the chaos, the mundane, like the quote-unquote boring, and also the magic and the miss the like the miracles and the mystery and all that as well. So I feel like our expression is so powerful and potent and important in every moment, and every moment in every day can be a work of art, like simply in the way that we place the food on our plate, you know, in the way we dance or doing the dishes or the laundry or like whatever else, or we sing, or we just like hold the posture of our body with a smile on our face. Like, everything can be just such a beautiful moment of expression, and we don't need to like numb ourselves or disassociate or like slip into that autopilot in moments that we want to just like kind of fast forward through until we get to like the magic and the exciting and all of that.
Yeah, it's funny, that whole thing with what we do perceive as mundane. I believe there are times where we just kind of need to just kind of be. I find those times when I'm doing the dishes very meditative, honestly. I kind of get into my own zone, and I'm just like feeling the water, the soap, the repetition of it. I enjoy it. But I totally hear what you're saying too about those little moments like waiting in line. It's so funny because a while ago we were having this conversation. So my husband and my two kids, a boy and a girl, they're now older, like 18 and 21. We were having this conversation like a year or two ago, and saying, if you're in line, would you turn around and talk to the person behind you or in front of you or next to you? And of course, me, yes. Like, that's like a no-brainer. You know, you strike up conversation. That's where you learn the most about people within like however big of a window of time you have, or little of a window of time as you're waiting in line. And my husband and son were like, no, why? It's like, because those are the perfect moments to meet people. There's like stories in there.
Yeah, and I think that is such a good insight. They're asking why. And I think a lot of people would have that same question, like, why would I do that? And it's like, why would I do that? What's it going to lead to? How's it going to be productive? Like, what's the purpose? And it's like, I feel like when we really accept that, they really, like, the purpose of life is to feel good, to feel like ourselves, to be ourselves. And there doesn't need to be a productive purpose in having a conversation with a stranger. Like, it doesn't have to lead to anything. It can be an artful expression in that very moment. So I feel like sometimes we get a little too caught up in what's this going to lead to, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? That conversation could very well lead to an amazing opportunity, but it could also just be a beautiful moment in and of itself.
Exactly. Exactly. There's these beautiful moments that I've had, and listeners, anybody, if you've had anything like this, please share or just give a thumbs up or something to say, yes, you've had stuff like this, where you have those magical moments where you just connect with somebody on a level. It might only be for 2 minutes or 5 minutes. There was one specific scenario. I was pregnant. We lived in New York, and it was this incredibly crowded, we're on the subway, and it was just packed. And I guess I had a look on my face, like I was trying to plan which door I was going to exit from and get out on time. And all of a sudden, I stood up, and all of a sudden, this man reached his hand out. And my immediate reaction was to kind of like, who are you? You know, my bubble, like I'm in my bubble here. And he just said, pregnant woman coming through. And he led me through. And he went out the door, and I walked out the door, and he stood within the train, and I just said, thank you so much. And he tipped his hat, and the doors closed. It was like a movie.
Yeah, how beautiful.
I know, but it's those moments where it's like, oh my gosh, that connection there, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to think about those little moments, because like the ripple impact of that, like that probably like elevated your energy, and then everyone you interacted with, and like there's little things that would have influenced you into doing, and that ripple and that transmission of that just one little act and one little moment continues to carry for a very like long time afterwards.
It was 22 years ago. And that's the thing.
How amazing.
Yes, 22 years ago. And this total stranger who I never saw again. But that's in recognizing the power that we have in our connection and how we are all one. So, amazing. Yeah. Okay, so let's start to move into the second question, which is, we talked about things, but I'd like to know more specifically about you. Like, how do you define how do you bring creativity into your own life?
So I feel like I just trust that everything that I do create has value. If I feel called to create something, it will contribute to the evolution of the world. And sometimes that is through just the fulfillment that it brings me individually, and often it ripples out through to impact to others. So I just create what I desire to, I share what I choose to, and I practice really being embodied, because like I mentioned before, our creative energy is in our body. So I guess that's how I practice creativity, and how I incorporate it is just, it's kind of like just a natural undercurrent, like the recognition that my creative energy is my life force energy, and I get to express and share and create from that whenever I choose to.
So let's get, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to add that, like there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. It's like whatever I decide it is. So like whatever I want to do, I just do it.
So let's get a little bit more specific and tell me things that you like actually enjoy doing. I know it varies in the moment and you do what feels good, but I know you talked about yoga. What other things? Cooking, music, travel, accounting, like what else brings you joy?
Yeah. So I really love writing. And like I love creating books like through my writing. So I've written, like, my first book was kind of like a like typical like self-help, my style kind of my life kind of book. And then like last year I wrote a poetry book, and it really came out of nowhere. Like I had not written a poem since probably primary school when we learned about writing poems. And all of a sudden, like over this 3-week period, poems, like rhyming verses of these like kind of deep topics were just pouring out of me. So I published a poetry book, and I'm actually writing another one now. I just published a new book that just has like affirmations about creative energy that you kind of use like an oracle deck, like flip to a page and it'll have the message for you. This year I wrote 9 kids books and published them like in the space of 3 months. Like,
oh my gosh.
So I really like, I love writing. I'm writing like another book at the moment. I love doing, like, when I do masterclasses and stuff, like I love just being a channel to write notes for them. So that is something I love doing, writing, but I also love just like making beautiful spaces, like with my crystals and fresh flowers and candles and stuff like that, like making really beautiful altars. In my yoga practice, like I love just moving intuitively. When I first started, it was more that like I wanted something to follow and I wanted someone to tell me what to do. But now, and this has come with practice, because I've been practicing yoga for like over like 5-6 years now, but like I would just come to the mat and move how my body is inviting me to move in that moment. And like there are times that I do like going to classes to have someone else like lead it, but most of the time it's just moving how my body wants to move. I love just randomly dancing in the middle of the day as well. And I have it was just this year that I got into painting, because I had convinced myself for so long that I was bad at like painting and drawing. But I just bought like a big sketchbook and some like paints, like low quality paints and pencils, and just started playing with that. And that's been a really fun form of expression, just having no expectation and playing. And I feel like I've created some really beautiful pieces from that. So there's some things. And yeah.
Words that you just said, ended that with, was playing and no expectations. So important. Because that's what
I feel.
That's
like,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say that, like, that is, I feel like that was something that really diluted my expression for a really long time, like especially as a teenager and in my early 20s, that there was always this pressure. Like, I put so much pressure on myself to achieve, to be good at the things that I was publicly doing, and that pressure and that expectations on myself kind of really stopped me from exploring things that I wanted to, but I didn't, because I didn't think I was good at them.
So then dive in a little bit more. How do you coach people? How do you help people and guide them to understand that? Because it's a natural process. I mean, so many, we want to, there's that wanting to be approved of and liked by others and all of this kind of stuff. But as we go through, we learn, you know, our lessons. But how do you kind of get that point across with people in order to be more intuitive and trusting?
Yeah, so there's three things that immediately came up for me. One is like learning how to self-source your own validation. The second is becoming comfortable with being bad at things. And the third, which kind of ties into that, is that all skills are buildable. So like, actually I'll work backwards. So like, with skills being buildable, if you think about like anyone that's an amazing painter or dancer or writer or like literally anything, athlete, whatever, they all had a starting point. And they, like, looking at them now isn't like, they didn't get there on pure talent. And I do recognize that some people are born with a talent that is different to someone else's in some things, but combining their talent with their practice is what builds their skill level. And we can build our skill level into anything we want, but we need to be willing to arrive at the practice. So we need to be willing to discover our current like base level. And we may find that we actually have some natural talent that we convinced ourselves through our entire childhood and adolescence that we didn't have. But like, just recognizing that we can build any skill that we want. Like, when I first started painting, like, if you flipped through like my book, you'll see that like the first things are pretty shit. I don't know if I can say words like that.
You can. You're okay.
Like they're not amazing. But I did like some online tutorials, and I got inspiration from what I saw other people was doing. And I feel like this is where we can use imitation to build our own skill before we kind of find our unique expression for ourselves. So all skills are buildable. Like, we need to recognize that, and we can't compare ourselves to someone who has been practicing something for their entire life or years or decades or whatever else. And the second thing was like being comfortable with being bad at things. And I think it's so important to recognize that if something is worth doing, it's worth doing bad. And that's like, we can apply this to anything. Like, if the dishes are worth doing, it's worth doing them poorly. Like, do a quick job, do whatever you need to get them done. If anything is worth doing, it's worth doing badly, because done puts us in motion. And this is where, like, I've worked with a lot of people that have this like perfectionism. Like, they identify as a perfectionist, but being a perfectionist is an expression of fear, and that fear can be really deeply rooted in childhood trauma, in so many different things, but essentially it's the fear of getting things wrong. But there's like this conditioning in society that tells perfectionists that they just have high standards and that, you know, they whatever else, but it comes from fear. So like, you can paint and be a bad painter, like be a bad painter, be a bad writer. And for me, like I said before, that I really love writing, and I don't think that, like, if someone that has like studied writing or like gone down kind of like more of a traditional path with their writing, they would probably look at mine and think, yeah, that's not very good. But like, I don't really care, because I feel expressed through my writing, and I'm not holding it to anyone else's standards. So like, we can be bad at things, and also in our art, in our expression, it is very subjective. Like, some people may see it as the masterpiece that we feel it is. Other people may see it as a piece of rubbish. And that is like we can look at anything that we love. Like, there are artists that I love, like singers, like all kinds of different artists that I love, and I'll meet people that absolutely just feel like triggered or repulsed with their work, and I just think, how could you think that? So just know that like, you can be bad at something by anyone's standards, and if it fulfills you and energizes you, then it's worth doing. And also, there'll be like, there may be a transition period, because whenever we do something new, it's likely to feel like a little uncomfortable. And a personal example for me is that I felt this like real curiosity and this desire to do some pole dancing lessons, like just for fun, because I would watch these pole dancers and think they just look so elegant and like they're having so much fun, and like, I want some of that. And I went to my first class, and like, I wish it was recorded, because I just looked like a mess. Like, I was like, I felt so uncoordinated, so out of place. But I decided, instead of being intimidated, I was going to be inspired. So I went to a few more, and like, by my like third one, it started being actual fun. So there's going to be like this balance of it may be like a balance between challenging and actually fun, playful, and expressive. And the more you show up for it, like the less challenging and the more like playful it will be. And it can be both of those things at the same time. So let yourself be bad at things, in summary. And then the last thing is self-sourcing your own validation. And this does come to, like, this can come from many places. Often it is childhood wounding. So doing some inner child healing around like, where did the need of external validation arrive from? And some of that is very primal, because as babies, like, we depend on other people for our own survival. And if we feel like, if as children we felt like we had to be approved and do things in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, in order to belong in the family, then that is going to influence how we act in some relationships and some situations now as adults, if we haven't addressed the trauma that came from that. And when I say trauma, I just mean unresolved emotional energy. So we can look at like, why do we feel like we need external validation? And we can start to self-source our own validation. And some of that comes from the healing, and some of it also comes from making the decision that I'm a confident creative being. Like, everything I create is of value, and I value myself. I recognize the value of myself first and foremost, and the praise and recognition from anyone else is just a bonus. Like an example that's really coming to mind is Olivia Rodrigo. Do you know who Olivia Rodrigo is?
I don't. Who is that?
I was going to say, I feel like most of the world does. So she is the singer of Driver's License, and she came out with like her debut album. She's a 18-year-old like American singer. She's like very popular. Her album is just like breaking pretty much like every record. I really love her music. She's amazing. But I watched this interview that she did, and she was saying how she really just wrote her songs for herself to process something she was going through. And like, she just really talked about how it was for herself, and then she put it out there, and you know, millions of people around the world are resonating with it, but it was for herself. And when we come to our creations for ourselves first and foremost, and we completely validate them, then, you know, the praise or the criticism doesn't impact our self-worth. And we can be excited about the praise. We can, you know, have a little moment of like, oh, that's a shame, like if someone criticizes us, but it doesn't impact our self-worth. And I think that's the important thing. When external validation is having an impact to how we see ourselves and how we value ourselves, that's when it can be really detrimental to our creative potential, to our expression. When we self-source and validate our own worth, like we create for ourselves first and foremost, and it doesn't matter like what other people think doesn't influence how we feel about ourselves. So that was like a kind of long answer to your question.
There's so much I want to address and expand on this conversation. And I want to welcome the people who are joining on live. So thank you so much for being here. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box below and we will respond. First off, what was the name of the singer again?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Rodrigo. Okay. Thank you. I have to check her out. But I think that that is a very good point to talk about. It's the whole inner work. So it's really living from the inside out and being truly authentic and doing it for yourself, not talking about it in, from a this concept of maybe thinking, well, that's selfish, that's narcissistic. That's not coming from that space. It's coming from a place of your authenticity, of your, you know, center. And you're exactly right. It doesn't affect you, that praise, criticism, whatever it is. It's just who you are. And it'll resonate with those people. It has a way different vibration.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there could be a kind of thing of, well, oh, this was truly me. People could say, of, oh, well, this is really me and I'm revealing myself and I'm being vulnerable and they don't like it. But when you're truly coming from that space, it's different. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And like, this is a really like kind of dynamic to explore as well. Like this is sometimes why we hide our true expression, because if, and then often this comes from childhood as well, if we express ourselves in a vulnerable way, like as our true self, and it's rejected, if we have insecurities about our own worth and we internalize that, then we start to create these masks over who we really are and our true expression, because it's like a fear of rejection ultimately, that like we'll still put ourselves out there, but if they reject us, it's not for the real me, so it doesn't really matter. That's like the kind of subconscious belief that is happening in the background. And like that's why we wear those masks sometimes, because we don't want to be rejected for the real us, but it's less of a stab in the heart to be rejected for someone that we don't believe we really are.
Such an important point to make. Yeah, because it really does. That's where those masks really do come in. To protect ourselves. It's like acting, it's like being on stage and playing another character.
Yeah. And it is all protection. Like any trauma, any wounding, any like limiting beliefs, it was all put in place for our protection. And we can really honor and appreciate our body and our mind's amazing ability to protect us in that way in the moments we needed it. And we can recognize now that maybe we don't need that protection anymore, and we can alchemize it and heal it and move forward without it.
I think it was also, I love how you brought up the pole dancing. A friend of mine, she started doing it as well after she had, I think, her second or third child, and she was pretty young, and she was like, it just seems like sexy. And she just wanted to move and she wanted to lose weight. It was like a combination of kind of all of that. And the whole thing of, and she actually did a video series from the beginning. I forget how long it was over a period of time, but she ended up going into competition like way down the road. But there was a lot of messiness and there was a lot of that kind of intimidation, but she was determined.
Yeah, amazing. I think the mess is magical in itself. And if more people let themselves be messy, then we would live in such more of a beautiful world.
It's true, right? When the kids would enter the classroom, we would go over kind of the expectations. And one of them, we'd always say, I'd have different kids read it each time. And we'd say, and what happens when we make a mistake? Beautiful, oops, try again. And we talked about there was posters of all the different ways that you could change it besides just knocking it down or ripping it up or whatever it was. Not to say that that wouldn't happen at times, because sometimes that's just kind of what it is. But it's not the first reaction. It's like, okay, because that often leads you into a way where you're like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And it just leads, it just really, your imagination is stretched.
Yeah, definitely. I love that.
So, and then again, once they kind of started incorporating that in more, it just is, but it would be, even with kids, there'd be a battle in it because a lot of, it depends on, you know, when you're talking about a school setting, how, you know, what you're taught. And then also from home, all these things of, you know, what you're taught, what you're, you know, what's right, what's wrong. If you make a mistake, well, you just rip it up and you know, you don't accept that or whatever. So when it would finally get into their thinking and they would internalize it and really own it, it would, yeah, it's like you would, like we said the word, it's magical.
Yeah, definitely. And it, like, it's really interesting thinking about it from like kids that are in school still. Because, like, most of school is them, like, if they get something wrong, they get, like, points deducted and they're scored and they're graded. And it's like doing something wrong or getting something wrong is inherently a bad thing and results in bad consequences. So it's like it does involve a lot of deconditioning as adults, like when we were conditioned in that way through school. And for kids that are in school now, like it's this beautiful balance of, like, yes, yeah, some decisions have consequences, but a grade on a test doesn't determine our worth or our creativity or how we can express ourselves in different modalities in different ways.
That's exactly. It makes me crazy. The whole grading thing makes me nuts. But I understand, you know, there needs to be baselines for things. But there is this TEDx speaker, and I can't remember her name right now. She was an educator for like 40 years. And she told a story where she got this really difficult class and she really didn't know how she was going to bring them up. Like they were just really low in their understanding and their expressiveness and all this kind of stuff. So she was thinking about it and thinking about it. And anyway, she did raise them up. But at one point in the beginning of their interactions, she decided that there was 20 questions and the student got 2 right. So she put a +2 and the kid went, Miss, I forget her name, Miss so-and-so, you put a +2. Did I fail? And she said, yes, you did. And he's like, well, why did you give me a +2? She said, well, you got 2 right. He's like, yeah. And she said, you're going to do better next time, right? He goes, yes, I am.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
I know. So it really is how you like distill the information, how you back it up. If kids are having difficulty with things or adults are having difficulty with things, the words that you use are so freaking powerful.
Yeah.
And how you raise people up.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So we're getting to the top of the hour. So we are going to move on to the third question, which is basically where we kind of wrap it up and put a nice little bow on it because it's stuff that we've touched on. But why do you think creativity is important?
I think it's so important because so many people, myself included, like I've mentioned, like grew up thinking that we weren't creative and that we couldn't identify as being creative. And that conditioning and disassociation really results in disassociating with a fundamental part of our being, with our primal and divine essence of our entire being. We are here to create. And if we feel like we have less of a capacity to do that, to be creative anyway, then we disconnect ourselves from so much of our potential magic and expression and the fulfillment that comes from that, that I really believe is our natural birthright to experience simply because we exist. And when it comes to feeling liberated and free in our life to make art or to do whatever we want, essentially, creativity is such a necessary part of that journey. And like our creative energy, it is our life force energy. It births new realities. It internally nourishes us. It expands time. It fulfills us. So like it's important. Like I think it's one of the most important energies we can connect with, because it is how we create anything and how we can live fully and actually feel alive in our life in each moment.
So listeners, are you listening to that? Because that was an amazing bunch of reasons. Birthing new realities, expands times, that we're disconnected. If we don't connect with it, then it disconnects ourselves from our magic. And we are creative simply because we exist. Like, oh my God. What better reasons to actually acknowledge your talents? And your talents are those things that really resonate with you and bring you joy and happiness to the center of it. It doesn't have to be these huge things. It's just, and if you're not sure what it is, then take some time to explore and make a mess and not necessarily be great at it, but just have fun with it. And like Rachel said, it's if you want to get better at something, there's that. I thought that was a really good point to make at the uniqueness and imitation, because it's good to have those guides. Not everything has to be solely unique, because many things have been done before. So learn and start at those baby steps. And so many times I would do things, I still do things with people as I'm teaching, that if it is something to do with transferring an idea and it has something to do with drawing, and many people are like, well, I don't know how to draw, then we go to an image that they can print out, and then we do a pencil transfer. So, and show them how to do that. So there's tools for all of this. And if it's something that you truly want to get better at, then you will take time to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Rachel, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Yeah. Oh, can I quickly add one more thing before I do that, actually?
Of course, sure.
Just in the, like in time, when we talk about time, because something I hear is like, I don't have time to do that, blah, 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 you know, like the common reasoning. But our, like I mentioned before, our creativity, our creative energy expands time. So if you have like all the commitments you have in your life without any creative outlet compared to doing all the things you do and your creative outlet, like you, that expands time. And it doesn't make sense to the logical brain, but you will get everything else done quicker and create the space for your creative expression, because that's how your creative energy works. It makes you feel more alive, so you can do the other things quicker and then still have the space for your creative energy. Like, that was a really quick summary of what I wanted to say. There's so much more to it. But yeah, just know that your creative energy will always expand your time and make space for itself when you want to express it.
I think it's an incredible point. If you want to dive in further, you can spend a little bit of time if there's anything else you want to expand on there.
What feels important? So, no, I feel like that's all I need to say for now.
Okay. But I think it's an incredible point, because we're a culture of, oh, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. I don't have enough time. But when you're in that space of allowing yourself the time to be in that space of joy and happiness, it does. It expands everything. You do everything else that much better because you're more connected.
Yeah, definitely. And it even comes back to like when we do things and then like make a mistake, so we have to redo them or something, like that can take up more time. But when we're connected with our creative energy, we make less of those mistakes that have us redoing things. And whatever we are committed to, we will expand that to take up the time we feel that we have available. There's time is an illusion, essentially. There's always enough time to do what you're really committed to doing and what you really feel like is important for you to do.
Yeah, yeah, good point. And I think it's really giving yourself the permission to do that. Yeah. Giving ourselves a saying, yeah, that's okay for me to spend time doing this. And like you said, one thing kind of I've just found had so many circumstances where it started out kind of looking like a mess and then just kind of sticking with it. And then the excitement that builds because it just turned into this thing that was a seed, which grew to this idea. Maybe it was a little bit different, or maybe it was a lot different, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it came out exactly as what was in my mind, but it was that, that space to allow for it, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So Rachel, go ahead. Tell them how they can connect with you.
Yeah. So the best place is on Instagram at by Rachel White. I hang out in my stories and I do post a lot, so you can find me there. And then you can go to the link in my bio, or it's just byrachelwhite.com. And I have like everything on my website, or you're welcome to send me a message and ask what I have on. I have my membership, private coaching, all my books and some, but I would really love to connect with you on Instagram. So anyone listening, say hello. I would love to hear any insights or anything that you love from this conversation. So feel free to always reach out.
Wonderful. Rachel, thank you so much for taking this hour to chat. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was great getting to know you all the way. This is the beauty of technology, from the States to Australia. So, I wish you a wonderful day since you're ahead of us.
Yeah.
So, and to the listeners, this is a space that's all about connecting, sharing stories, and inspiring each other. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread this inspiration, because it's something that we've always needed. But now, especially, I feel like it's needed more and more. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be speaking to you really soon. So goodbye, everybody. Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.